If I could be asking for a specific something for you guys to be praying for, I believe that God has been continuing to show me that and we're going to Thailand, and that is the goal, but God keeps showing me something about the airports. So if you guys could just be praying for our layovers and stuff, I don't know what God's saying about us being in the airport, but we have a layover that one of them is for 5 hours, and the other one is for 12. So,
wow. That's a long layover.
So I don't know what, and we were switching around trying to get different flights, and this is the ones that this is like the only one we could actually end up taking. I would never do a 12-hour layover, but anyway, God keeps showing us different stuff about like airports. Like I felt that very strong, and then we were listening to a song the other day, and Rebecca's like, I think you guys really need to watch the music video to this. The whole music video was in an airport, and so like. I just think God's saying something about the airport. I don't know what it is. We're going to be in Hong Kong and Japan for our two layovers, one there and one on the way back. So just please be praying for us. I think that God wants to do something cool at the airports. I don't know what that is, but I just want to throw that out there. So thank you.
Thanks, Mike. All right. So children's ministers, we're going to go ahead and release you now. Your students will be about 1 minute behind you, so don't walk too slow. For the rest of you, welcome. It's so good to have you here. My name is Ron. If this is your first Sunday here, great. Thanks for joining us. Glad you could be here. Just a couple things real briefly. I hope you can come to the picnic next Sunday. We have a picnic after the service. I hope you can join us for that. We're really looking forward to that. Jason and Vanessa Pfeiffer are in the house this morning somewhere. Have you met them? They're back in the back. Missionaries from St. Croix. You're going to get to hear from them next week. So I see the students are going now. Thank you, screen, for telling them to go. So it's good to have Jason and Vanessa with us. You might get a chance to give them your blessing here this morning. I wanted to say thank you again for those of you who are contributing financially and with your labor for the community room here in Arbor Park. Those of you who are from Living Hope, you know we're renovating a building over there to turn it into a community room. What you are working towards, what you are giving towards, and what you are serving towards is an impact in that community. We're not just building a building. Yesterday I was over there working, and in the morning, and one of the young teen girls walked by. I happen to know her through our youth ministry. And she had a blanket wrapped around herself, and I said, are you sick? She said, yeah, I'm sick. I've been sick for a couple weeks now. I don't know, like sinus, congestion, cough stuff. And, you know, here I go again, like this pastor that always fails. I didn't pray for her in that moment, just to make you feel better if you're like me. But when I went to leave, she was sitting in front of her house. I'm like, I must pray for her for healing. So I just stopped my car next to her. I just rolled down the window. I didn't even get out of the car. And I just said, Paola, I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will heal you. So I just prayed for her in my car. And I don't know at this point what God did with that prayer. I continue to pray for her. Pray for her as you think about her. But what caught my eye is when, or caught my ear, I should say, when I drove away, sitting next to her was probably a young girl, maybe, I don't know, first grade, second grade-ish age. And as I drove away, I heard the little girl explain to the teen, what was he talking about? I have no idea how she answered that question, but let's pray that God would stir curiosity in, not there, but everywhere we go. We are to be salt and light, right? We're to be the fragrance of Jesus, that people would look at us and say, what are you talking about? And that God would do something with that. So, all right. So, let's continue our sermon series on the Spirit. Mita, I'm sorry, I got a call. Yeah, it's so good to see you. Welcome. Good to have you here. So good to see you. You know, it's dangerous when you start calling people out because you forget someone. I see John and Sue Ellen over here. So good to have you guys with us the whole way from Colorado. And if you're an important, dignified person and I'm failing to point you out right now, I'm sorry. I always get nervous when I do this because I know I will forget someone. So, but every one of you are welcome. It is good to have you here this morning. So, very, very quickly, Rhonda, if you can switch me over to my notes up here, I'd appreciate it. We continue a sermon series that actually began in January when we said we're going to focus on the attributes of God. We're going to look at A.W. Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy. We spent, 8, 9, 10, 11 weeks on that. But then from there, we said, if we're looking at God the Father, let's also look at God the Son. And we spent some time looking at God as revealed through Jesus Christ. And now we've been spending a number of weeks focusing on God the Spirit, looking at God, how he's revealed through the Holy Spirit, and how we interact with God through the Holy Spirit. This is actually part 6 of that. This is the 6th morning when we're focusing on the Holy Spirit. So we want to do that again today. You'll see the title up here is the Echo Prayer. I made a little reference to this in my Facebook post this week when I asked the question, you know, those phrases that we say to God that he echoes them back to us. So if you've been waiting for that answer, you have to wait till the end of the sermon. We're going to revisit this just a little bit later. We began this series in January, like I said, and I shared this quote from A.W. Tozer at that point. I said this, again, quoting A.W. Tozer, "The church has surrendered her once lofty concept of God and has substituted it for one so low, so ignoble, as to be utterly unworthy of thinking, worshiping men. This she has done, not deliberately, but little by little and without her knowledge, and her very unawareness only makes her situation all the more tragic." I also quoted that morning, "This low view of God, entertained almost universally among Christians, is the cause of 100 lesser evils everywhere among us." That caution and that concern expressed by A.W. Tozer really was sort of the seedbed, if you will, for our whole focus on the attributes of God and looking at God. So we don't want to look at God incorrectly. We want to see him with all the majesty and holiness and splendor that he deserves. So from that, I would just ask this question. If it is true that by and large, the church as a whole has allowed their view of God to be diminished, and we don't see him in his rightful place with his holiness and majesty and righteousness and justice, if we have allowed our view of God to be diminished, what has that done to our view of his Spirit? If we are not that impressed with God, why would we want to pursue his Spirit? Does that make sense? Does it also make sense that the more we exalt him, the more we glorify him, and the more we ask the Lord, show us your majesty, the more we should at the same time be saying, I want to know you through your Spirit. I want to know more of you through your Holy Spirit, because that's what you've provided. That's the way you have designed this for to happen. In the last chapter of his book, Knowledge of the Holy, and I shared this near the end of that particular part of the series, A.W. Tozer suggested 6 steps in response to the book. Okay, we're looking at God. We're trying to understand more of his holiness, all that he is. He suggested 6 steps. I'm going to read them really quickly. Number one, we must forsake our sins. We must forsake our sins, abandon them, leaving them behind. Number 2, Jesus gets it all. Complete surrender to him. Number 4, reject the world's values. Number 5, stand in awe of God's reverence, his majesty. Number 6, serve others. Excuse me, Ron, you skipped over number 3. I left number 3 to the end. This is what number 3 was. He says, there must be a reckoning of ourselves to have died unto sin and to be alive unto God in Christ Jesus, followed by a throwing open of the entire personality to the inflow of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that last part. And in a throwing open of the entire personality to the inflow of the Holy Spirit. How is it that one throws open their entire personality to the inflow of God's Spirit, the Spirit of God? How is it? Well, that's our focus this morning. That's our emphasis this morning. Did you know that this morning, today, is Pentecost Sunday? Today is Pentecost Sunday on the calendar. And I don't normally do this, but I'm going to describe the end of the service for you at the here. We're not quite at the beginning, but and you've probably picked this up already. A number of comments have been made, but we're going to close this morning, as we always do, close with an opportunity for prayer. But this morning specifically, we're going to have an extended time of prayer where you will have the opportunity to have someone pray with you to basically to throw yourself open to the inflowing of the Holy Spirit. We're all at different places on this. We all have different experiences on that. But I'll just tell you that now so you know. It doesn't surprise you when we get there. We're going to have that opportunity for prayer at the end. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. We have been talking about the Holy Spirit, but specifically, this relationship with the Holy Spirit that we can have. Cheryl described it so well in her testimony up here this morning. First, let's just go through some foundational things. I know it looks like a fair amount of notes. I'm going to try to move through them pretty quickly. So if you have questions or you want to go back and listen to the sermon, you can do that online. If you have other questions, please feel free to contact me, email, phone call. Number one, I just want to throw this out there. I think this is always important when we talk about the Holy Spirit, is to restate what I believe, and I think Christians pretty much universally agree on, is we receive the Holy Spirit when we receive Jesus as our Savior. When we surrender to Christ, when we become a Christian, we receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we use that word, I think, maybe in a confusing way. We'll say, well, you can receive the Holy Spirit today. We say that to Christians. You can receive the Holy Spirit. Well, if you're a Christian, I believe you have the Holy Spirit. Michelle and Noah have a diploma. They have done the work. They have received a diploma. Now it will be, what will they do with that training and with that education they've gotten? You know, there's that question for all of us. You receive something, then the question is, what do you do with what you receive? So I believe we receive that. Just very quickly, Acts 2:38, in Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost, he said this. He said, I'll read the whole thing, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then another one, Romans 8:9. However, you are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So I believe that we receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ as our Savior. When we accept Christ, when we make that decision to surrender to Christ, we receive the Spirit. So, here's the next question, which follows. Is there more than receiving? Well, to be candid with you, it kind of depends who you ask. Because the worldwide Christian community isn't all exactly at the same place on this particular question. Some people believe that when you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit, and that's the end of the story. Now, if you were listening to Cheryl's testimony this morning, she said she became a Christian six years old, and you said you received the filling of the Holy Spirit in your late 30s, right? 39, is that what it was? 39 years old. So Cheryl is describing something in addition to when she became a Christian, a time where she came into a relationship with the Holy Spirit in a new and different way. So I'm going to suggest to you this morning that there is more than receiving. It's like there's more than just receiving the diploma. What follows that? There is more than just receiving. Sometimes I personally have contrasted the words receiving the Spirit and releasing the Spirit. I've used those words sometimes to contrast. Other people will use a phrase, what Cheryl describes, some people will call that the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit. For me this morning, I hope this doesn't upset you, but for me this morning, I'm not really going to use that phrase. I'm going to use a slightly different phrase. My concern with that phrase, it's a biblical phrase, by the way. John the Baptist said it. He said, one is coming who's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, wait, because you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Peter later referred back to that statement, remembering that Jesus had said we would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's a biblical term. My concern is this. In our day, I think, the phrase the baptism of the Spirit for some makes a connection in their mind to a very small amount of things. It makes a connection in their mind to Pentecostal churches. Now, if you don't know what a Pentecostal church is, it's a church that's all about the Holy Spirit, which is good. It's good to be all about the Holy Spirit. But it makes a connection to speaking in tongues, and it makes a connection to maybe like really demonstrative forms of worship or something like that, you know. And that can all be part of the Holy Spirit. My concern is, that's just a little part. That's just a little part. So for me this morning, you say, well, if you're not going to say that, what are you going to say? I would like to say something that was a word that was used on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, and this is the phrase. This is the scripture. Acts 2:4, it says, all of them were, say it with me, filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were filled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. You have a whole list of verses in your program. We're not going to look at all of them now, but here's just several of them quickly. Acts 4:31, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. By the way, this verse is referring to the same disciples that were filled on the day of Pentecost. So I believe that filling is something that can happen again and again and again in various ways. There's another one. So then here, Acts 6:5, they chose Stephen, a man, say it with me, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And here's a command now. The other ones were just kind of making a reference as to what was going on. This is a command from the Apostle Paul. He says, do not get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So the word filled or fill or filling is not complicated. Rick said it already. If you have a jar full of water and you want to fill it with milk, what do you need to do with the water? You need to pour the water out. What is currently in the cup has to be emptied before you can fill it with something else. So to be filled with the Spirit, to truly be filled with the Spirit, everything else that would contradict or oppose the Spirit has to go. Piece of cake, right? Piece of cake. I just get rid of all that sinful nature, no big deal at all. I'm just filled with the Spirit. Well, you know, if you're a Christian for any amount of time, it's not that easy, but that really is the heart of it. To be filled with the Spirit, all of those things that would react against or counteract or contradict the Spirit have to be placed in submission so you can be filled with the Spirit. Not a complex word. So if I said earlier, I did say earlier, that I'm a little concerned at times that this whole idea of the filling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, some people's minds is just relegated to a couple little expressions that are kind of pinned to charismatics or Pentecostals. What would I say really is the heart of it? Now, this is just me speaking. As I was praying this week, I felt like the Lord gave me, and this really resonated with me. You can agree with them or not, but this is what I believe, or this is my heart. When we talk about being filled with the Spirit, this is what we're talking about. Number one, sin is defeated. That was Cheryl's testimony, right? She said that there were things that she just could not get past, where it's all of a sudden, when she was filled with the Spirit, she realized she had power. Greg devoted a whole sermon in this series to power through the Holy Spirit. So that's the first one. Sin is defeated. If we're being serious about the Holy Spirit, if someone is walking in sinful patterns, now sin is defeated doesn't mean you'll never sin again. But it means those sinful patterns that have you locked up, that have you bound up, that you can't seem to break through, the answer to that is in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what else to say. That's where the answer is. Sin is defeated. Number two, the fruit of the Spirit is produced. Paul gives a list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, you know, that whole list. If those things are lacking in your life, the Holy Spirit is not moving and working and controlling you. He says that's the fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit means that the fruit of the Spirit will be produced in your life. The next one, gifts of the Spirit are received and developed. Now, gifts of the Spirit, we're actually going to get into this summer. We're going to spend some time, about a month from now or so, we're going to get into more teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and things that the Spirit supernaturally enables us to do. But this is a result of being filled in the Spirit. The last one is power for ministry is released. Probably one of the most significant transformations that's visible regarding the disciples in the New Testament is the way they powerfully ministered the gospel, preaching, teaching, healing, raising from the dead after they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. So power for ministry, and not just power for ministry for others, but power for ministry in your own life, healing from brokenness and freedom from bondage and all that, that power is released by the Holy Spirit. So I would submit to you, at least from my perspective, those are the things that excite me the most when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, is seeing people walk in those things. Okay, moving along here. What is required to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What are the conditions, if you want to use that word? I know many of you were blessed by A.W. Tozer's writings when we used the knowledge of the Holy as our study guide, if you will, sort of a general guide in the first part of this series. And I have two volumes at home of a lot of A.W. Tozer's writings, and I discovered in one of those volumes a whole series that he preached on the Holy Spirit. And so I thought, let's go back to A.W. Tozer. He gives this list of what he believes is required to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And I was blessed by it, and I thought, let's go back to this well of A.W. Tozer one more time this morning. And again, this is his list. I found it, like I say, helpful. But as we look at this question of what are the things that are required, here was the first thing he listed. He said, in order to be filled with the Spirit, you first have to believe that you can be filled. Again, there are not all Christians agree on this. There would be some camps within the Christian church that would kind of minimize this teaching. They would say, no, there really is no such thing as like a second experience with the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're just baptized and that's it. That's the end of story. If that's where you are this morning, or if you're still confused about this, you're not even sure whether you believe this or not, number one, that's okay. That's okay. God will reveal to you what he wants to reveal to you in the time that he wants to. If that's where you are and you're not really sure you believe this, then for this morning, I would just encourage you to take in the rest of what I'm going to say, just kind of, okay, kind of reference information, not sure if I agree with it all or not, but it's okay. But if you do believe that you actually can be filled, if you're convinced that that is theologically sound, then that's one of the conditions. Number two, you must desire to be filled. You must desire to be filled. I think this is such a huge part of this. And as I said a minute ago, the desire to be filled means at the same time a willingness to be emptied. If you really want to give the Holy Spirit everything, then you kind of need to count the cost. Say, okay, that means I got to get rid of these things. You have to desire to be filled. Next one. I know I'm going through these quickly. I really want to leave time for prayer ministry at the end. So again, if you have questions, if you want to talk to me more about this, process this at the life group if you want to with your life group. Take this list and go through them more slowly than I am. Number three, you must be willing to be possessed by the Spirit. To be candid with you, I have never heard anyone use the word possessed when referring to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer, right there. You must be willing to be possessed. Now, if you're like me, I actually resisted a little. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That's a bad word, isn't it? The word possessed. We associate the word possessed or possession with an evil spirit, with a demonic spirit, which is a destructive, devastating thing. We see it in Scripture. Some of you might be aware of people that struggle with that even today, some type of demonization, demonic possession, whatever it is. So when you see this word possessed, like, wait a minute, what are we talking about here? Do you know what it looks like to be possessed by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ? When you get in a bind, the thought that comes to your mind is the thought that would come to the mind of Jesus. When you get in an argument, the words that come out of your mouth would be the words that would come out of Jesus' mouth in that moment. When you're trying to figure out how to prioritize and order your life or job, marriage, whatever, the thoughts that come into your mind are the thoughts of Jesus Christ and not the thoughts of yourself. That's what possession means. Now, if you like the idea of having your thought processes and your actions overtaken and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, the perfect, pure, righteous Holy Spirit of God, then this is for you. That's what I want. I wish I saw it more in my life than I do. That's what I want. I want my thoughts. I want my decisions. I want my temperament. I want my emotions. I want my feelings controlled, possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. I interchange those words because both titles are used in Scripture, Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus. I love them both. It's a trinity, remember? Okay, let's go on. Moving through here, A.W. Tozer suggests another condition is that you must be sure you need to be filled. Now, how is that different? The earlier one said you have to desire. This one said you have to be sure you need to be filled with the Spirit. Why would anyone doubt that? Well, if you're convinced that you can pretty much do what you need to do in your own strength and in your own power, then you're probably not convinced of this. Say, well, the Holy Spirit, that could be nice, I guess, for some people. Maybe if you're a pastor, it's important. If you're a missionary, that's probably important. You probably need the Holy Spirit if you're going to do something like that. But me, I'm just a regular person. I don't know that I really actually need the Holy Spirit. If that's where you are today, again, hey, that's okay. I can't make you be somewhere you're not, but I would really pray that God would reveal to you what Cheryl said in her testimony, that you just cannot get where God wants you to go in your own strength. You cannot get it done. You cannot get victory over those certain things in your own strength. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said it's good for me to leave, because if I go, or if I didn't go, then the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. But I'm going to go so the Holy Spirit can come. If you struggle with things like discouragement, you struggle with obedience and being obedient, you struggle with the difficulty of understanding Scripture, you feel like your Christian life is fruitless, you feel like your Christian life is powerless, that's probably a place where you're becoming convinced that you actually need the power of the Holy Spirit in a measure you've not yet been aware of or you've not yet experienced. The last one on Tozer's list was this. Very simple. This is his directions, basically, of how to go about receiving the Holy Spirit. He just present yourself. Say, God, here I am. God, here I am. Present yourself. Ask. Do you know that all through Scripture is this inviolable rule? I think that's the right word. In other words, it can't be violated. This rule is constant through Scripture. Ask, and you shall receive. Jesus said it this way, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. So the first step of anything with the next going somewhere with God is simply that, asking, just asking. Present yourself, ask, believe. Believe, again, if you're not sure you really believe this, then you're probably not ready to be asking for something you don't believe in. You have to believe, there has to be faith, and then obey. There will always be tests of obedience to see if we're serious about these steps that we take. I appreciated what Mike Richard said this morning when he said, you know, we want to hear from God. And even sometimes when we maybe hear and don't act or we hear wrong, you know, he doesn't kick us out of the family. This is a learning process. This is a growing process, but we want to keep desiring to hear God. Okay, now let's go back to the title, the Echo Prayer. It was a number of weeks ago when I began thinking about a certain phrase, and I said to myself, you know, when we say this phrase to God, I believe he echoes it right back to us. And I asked this question on Facebook, and there were several responses that were very close to the heart of it. They weren't exactly the words that I use, but the echo prayer, here's what I believe the echo prayer is. I want more of you. And I hope that many of us are at the place this morning where we would honestly, sincerely say to God, I want more of you. I want more of your spirit. I want more of your power. I want more of your presence. I want more of your leadership. I want more of you. Is anybody there this morning? You want more of God. Now here comes the other side of the coin. From my perspective, again, this is my perspective. I'm just kind of sharing with you my thoughts. I believe that when we sincerely say to God, I want more of you, he echoes that prayer right back to us, not as in a prayer form. God doesn't pray to us, but he echoes that statement, and he says, I want more of you. You want more of me? I want more of you. This works both ways, folks. It's an echo. I believe this statement is an echo. I think this is what the Lord showed me a couple weeks ago. This is an echo. I want more of you. 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 That's how it works. So here's what I would suggest. In these are the bottom of your notes. New levels of certain things require new levels of other things. This will make sense, I think, as we go along. New levels of authority. Do you want to walk in greater levels of authority in your Christian experience? I don't know what that would look like for you. Just a greater level of authority, feeling like you walk in some spiritual authority. I would suggest this morning that that is going to require new levels of submission. Why submission? Well, there can only be one authority in your life. It's either you're in charge or God's in charge. So if you want him to be working in power and in authority, that means you're going to have to be submitting to him. If you want more authority, let me ask you, how are you doing in submission? If you want to step into a new level of authority, you might have to be stepping into a new level of submission also. I want more of you. I want more of you. Okay? That's one suggestion. Here's another one. New levels of revelation, you know, revelation, understanding, insight. I hate to get all old-fashioned on you, but that's going to require new levels of study and prayer. I'm sorry, folks. I just don't believe that deep spiritual revelations, for the most part, this is not an exact rule, but for the most part, they don't come apart from the word and prayer. That's what pastors have been saying for hundreds of years, right? Are you in the word? Are you praying? Are you in the word? Are you praying? Are you regularly in the word of God, reading, studying, meditating? Are you regularly praying, not just for your meals? Are you creating blocks of time in your day, in your week, to pray, to seek God's face, to listen for his voice? That is where revelation comes from. You know, God speaks through dreams. Of course he does. He speaks through events. He speaks through all kinds of things. I'm not limiting God to prayer and reading the word. But I believe even if God gives you a dream or some vision when you're on the golf course, how do you interpret that prayer or you interpret that vision? You interpret it by the word of God and you see if it lines up. You interpret it with what God has been saying to you in the prayer closet. That's how you test the dreams. That's how you test the visions. That's how you test the revelations. Okay, probably enough on that one. Move on. One more. If you want new levels of opportunity, say, I just want more opportunity, like to serve or to share my faith or whatever it is. God, I open doors. God, open doors for me. I would love to see more doors open so I could serve you. That's probably going to require new levels of obedience. Do you know that obedience is really the key that opens doors? When we become obedient, we show God, okay, I'm willing now to take a step. I obey what you say. I obeyed what you said there. I'm hoping for me, by obeying, to pray for that girl. As simple as that was yesterday, that's going to open up more opportunities for me where I simply have to be obedient. I have to do what God is asking me to do. So I'm almost done. We don't do these things, submitting, studying, praying, obeying. We don't do these things to earn the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit. You can't earn. This is a gift. We're talking about a gift this morning. Please don't misunderstand. It's not like when I said these are conditions, it's not like you have to do these things. These are conditions of the heart that God is looking for. We don't do these things to earn the gift of the Spirit. We do them, two reasons, to position ourselves to be useful to God and to partner with God in what he wants to do in our lives. That could probably be a whole sermon there. Positioning and partnering. That's why we do these things, so that God can work through us. All right. I want to read you an email I received yesterday. I received this email yesterday. Hi, Ron. I want to thank you for your messages on the Holy Spirit. It is definitely an area that I struggle with and I don't understand or maybe am afraid of. I've asked God for the Holy Spirit, but while I see others who seem to have and are growing in the Spirit, it seems to elude me. I don't understand why or what I'm doing wrong. I thought you receive it when you ask Christ into your heart, but I don't seem to see results and lack victory in some areas of my life. I don't know if this makes any sense to you. It just seems some things are hard for me to grasp or understand. So I shared that for two reasons. First of all, just to let you know that if that's how you feel, and come on, I know there's a number of you that feels this way. You're not alone. You're not alone. Like, I don't always get this thing, the Holy Spirit. I don't feel like I'm always obedient. Like, I thought I would always be obedient once I prayed for a filling of the Holy Spirit. I shared that for one reason. The other reason I just wanted to share with you the first part of my response to this person. I said this. I said, I appreciate your email and your honesty. To be candid with you, I feel the same way at times. Like, there are times I have no doubt the Spirit is moving and speaking and leading and using me. And there are other times I feel like, man, like, I don't feel like I'm doing anything right. There doesn't seem to be any power or anointing. I guess we could interpret that a lot of different ways, other than I would just simply say, I think that's part of the human condition. We don't always get it exactly right. You know, I thought of something else as I read this email. I thought, I am so thankful that we have people that are concerned about being obedient to the Spirit. If you never get these emails, that's when you should be worried. I hope we're all at that place. God, I want to do it right. I don't think I always do, but I want to. I want to hear you better. I want to obey you more. I want to be more sensitive to your leading, to your moving, to your working in my life. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Okay. Here's what we're going to do next. It's not too late yet. We're just going to end the service with a time of prayer. Actually, we're officially going to end the service in just a couple minutes. But then what we're going to do is I've asked life group leaders. These are people that we entrust with leadership in the congregation. They're leading their life groups. I've asked them to come up and be available to pray with people. So there, when you come up, I'm just going to ask you to kind of spread the whole way across the front here. Here is kind of the framework for the prayer. Number one, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever surrendered to Jesus Christ and saying, Jesus, I am a sinner. I realize you died on the cross for my sins. And I want to take this step of faith where I entrust my life to you. I receive your forgiveness. Because apart from that, everything I've said about the Holy Spirit won't really make sense, or it doesn't really apply. I don't mean to sound exclusive, but faith in Christ, surrendering to Christ, is what opens the door then to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. So that's the first question. Have you ever received Jesus as your Savior? If you have not, we would love to pray with you about that this morning. So you can come forward to any of these people, and they would be happy to pray with you about that. Number two, have you ever specifically asked God to fill you with His Spirit? Like, and I know there might be some of you here like this, like, wait a minute, Ron, I'm still not really sure about this. If you're not sure about it, that's okay. Just continue to pray. Give yourself to God. Let Him do what He wants to do in your life. But if you've never done that, if you've never actually prayed for God to fill you with the Spirit, and you would like to do that this morning, God is prompting you in that, we'd love to pray with you about that. Any one of these people would love to pray with you about that. And thirdly, do you need prayer to see the Spirit's fire rekindled in you? Remember the verse I shared a number of weeks ago where we're warned not to quench the Holy Spirit? The word quench has to do with putting out a fire. Now, maybe this doesn't apply to any of you, but I have been guilty of that far too many times in my life where I quenched the Holy Spirit. So if you've quenched the Holy Spirit, I don't believe that means that the Spirit is gone from you forever. It simply means that you have to take these steps of faith and obedience to see that rekindled again. So we would love to pray with you about that. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray. For those of you life group leaders that have agreed to participate in this, just come on up front. Now, here's the deal with the prayer time. If you're not really sure where you're at on this and you're not really that interested in participating in it, you're free to go. You're dismissed. You can go. That's fine. If you are willing to stay in the room and pray for others who may come up for prayer, we would welcome that. If you would like to receive prayer yourself, obviously, that's what we're here for. Let me add something to that. If you would like, if the Lord is putting someone on your heart that's sitting in the audience right now that isn't one of the people up front, and you're like, you know, I would really like Cheryl to pray for me. I would really like Cheryl. Now, Cheryl will not specifically be standing in the front. Go talk to Cheryl. If you have a close friend that you trust, say, I would really like to pray with so-and-so about this. Go pray with them. Hopefully they didn't leave the room. Go pray with them. Or if it's not today, pray with them tomorrow. Pray with them at Life Group, you know. But we just want to make plenty of people available up here for prayer, and then we just want to give the rest of our time this morning to that. So is that clear? We would love to pray with you about a filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. So wherever you're at, whatever that looks like, we would also love to pray with you about receiving Christ as your Savior. That's always the first step. So if we can pray with you about that, we'd love to do that. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come now, as you've been here all morning, but just come and minister through these times of prayer. God, none of us give the Holy Spirit to one another. The Holy Spirit is a gift from you. And we are thankful that we have received the Holy Spirit at our baptism for those of us who are saved. We are thankful for that. And we pray, God, for an infilling that all that within us that is contradictory to the Spirit would be poured out. And for those who have yet to receive Christ as their Savior, God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead them to the cross, lead them to Jesus, to see the love that you demonstrated there. Minister, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit of God, and minister here in this place this morning. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, life group leaders, those of you who agreed to be available for prayer, come on up. Just sort of spread the whole way out across the front here. And we're just going to move into a time of ministry. Your children are okay in their classes. Another 10 minutes, easy, 10, 15 minutes, they'll be fine. So I just want to create this opportunity. If you have one of these leaders or one of these individuals you know, you trust, you want them to pray for you, come on up. And otherwise, go to anyone else you choose. We're going to move into a time of ministry now. It was so good to be with you today. Thanks for joining us. So let's move into a time of prayer. How can we pray with you this morning? What a wonderful name it is, the name of
inside.